Well, you've missed the intro, so those of you who are going to listen to this on the recording, so I apologise. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. So we're going to listen to this bit of James. And I just really want you to listen to the last half of the letter we're reading today, because it is really, really practical. And one of the things that is interesting is that as a practicing Jew, James isn't interested in washing your hands and washing your utensils and doing all the kind of the external things that lots of Orthodox Jews did. And that's a massive change in that person's life over a period of 3 years in knowing Jesus. It is, because he moves from that kind of religion that is based on rules and regulations, if you like, to something that is a little bit deeper than that. But because it's a little bit deeper, it's also a little bit harder to live. So he says, accept and submit to the word which has been planted in you and can save your souls. But you must do what the word tells you and not just listen to it and deceive yourselves. Pure, unspoilt religion in the eyes of God our Father is this: coming to the help of orphans and widows when they need it, and keeping oneself uncontaminated by the word, the world. Accept and submit to the word which has been planted in you and can save your souls. But you must do what the word tells you and not just listen to it and deceive yourselves. Pure, unspoilt religion in the eyes of God our Father is this: coming to the help of orphans and widows when they need it, and keeping oneself uncontaminated by the world. So we'll just have a bit of peace and quiet, thinking about So did anyone? Any words? Any images? Any thoughts from that that reading from James? Can't just pay lip service to the word. Yeah, that was mine actually. Accept and submit to the word which has been planted in you and can save your souls. But the thing that really struck me, and I think God was definitely saying this to me as a person, you know, we're all different. You must do what the word tells you and not just listen to it and deceive yourselves. So I was thinking, I've had three really uncharitable conversations about somebody this week. And, you know, and even though I've gone away and prayed for the person that I was uncharitable about, and I have, I shouldn't have had the three uncharitable conversations about them in the first place. I might think they're a div, and I really do think they're a div. But that isn't my right, really. So, you know, I can't stand up here and pretend to be something I'm not. I'm not that good a man. Like all of us. You know, we have to struggle, but we do it. Anyone else? Maybe that's God. He's going to say, hello? Oh, you've got one. Yeah, religion is coming to the aid of orphans and widows. I think one of the things that we forget, you know, is the reason we do this every week and the reason we should be praying every day is it takes time to shape a human being. It takes a lifetime. One of the saddest things when people don't commit to something is that we don't change, or we change in ways that perhaps we wouldn't change. You know, the very fact that it's boring sometimes, and it is, don't get me wrong. Come here and you can be bored stiff. It's not entertainment though, is it? You know, what's that line from Fawlty Towers when he gets that room and she can't see the sea, and he said, what do you expect? You know, the plains of Africa and wildebeest going across it, you know, you know, it's not excitement. People don't need excitement. They've got enough excitement in their life. And excitement is an illusion anyway. So the Buddhists would say it's maya. It passes. But change is a process that takes a lifetime. Every time I go to the Grand Canyon, and one of the reasons I go to the Grand Canyon as often as I do when I'm in Arizona, is because when you stand on the rim and you look down and you see what that river has done to that landscape, over a period of millions and millions and millions of years, is just the illustration of persistence, of just turning up and trying to do it right, even when you're not doing it right. So maybe one of the things we could think about this week, last week it was like, why do we come to Mass? And I honestly think we come to Mass, or we should be coming to Mass, to pray for everyone who isn't coming to Mass, so that they know the truth of God's love for them. And I really mean that. I think we should all be having that intention when we come to church. But maybe the other thing is the recognition that it takes time to make a work of art. And you are God's work of art. St. Paul says that. You know, and he doesn't want a Venus de Milo, right? Because she's armless. Sorry. You know, he wants the Venus de Milo with her arms on. And maybe some covering, but that's between him and between you and God. But you know, he wants us to be the best we can be, and it takes time. And one of the things that Mass does is it gives that space. You're giving God that space in your life to do some work on you, because you're not watching the telly. You're not distracted. Well, you might be distracted, but you know. But at least you're in a space where it's a kind of religious space. So be gentle with yourselves. And let's move forward. And we'll be back to some kind of normality next week, don't forget. We've got two Masses from next week. We've got one at 5:15 on Saturday and then one at 10. But I would remind everyone that rates are going back up again. So let's be careful. And even people who've had the vaccine, I've heard of someone recently, in fact, I heard someone today who had the vaccine and has still caught it. So, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, so let's remember that. And let's be sensible. And let's look after each other. Okay. And thanks for taking part this month. We've had probably more input this month than we've had on any of the other ones, so that's good. So thank you.